going to use for text, for a subject this morning, just let go.
Oh, no.
Just let go.
Just let go.
Just let go. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. Now, Lord, as we go closer and deeper into you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Our prayer, Lord, is that you'll just have your way today. Whatever it is that we're going through, we want to unpack, unload this morning in you. If you receive that, give the Lord some praise. You may be seated. Luke chapter number 18, verses 18 through 25. Just let go. In this journey that we call life, we all find ourselves carrying too much stuff. We carry baggage that is unnecessary in our lives.
Yes.
We carry bad relationships.
Yes.
We carry pain. We carry a shame. We carry memories of things that ended in failure.
Yes.
All these things we carry, and they are of no good to us. Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible invites us to lay aside
every weight
that so easily beset us. And so even though we carry stuff, every now and then we'll lay it aside. And when we lay it aside, we are headed in the right direction. And then Satan comes once again and fear sets in.
Then we pick it up.
And we go right back.
And pick it up.
And we get it.
All right now.
Come on, baby.
Again.
All right now.
See, if we really could understand that we are to press toward the mark. When we begin to press toward the mark, we look at the higher calling. And as we begin to press, we have to leave our past
behind.
The truth of the matter is, it's painful, it's heavy. I get tired of carrying it. I get tired of waking up in the middle of the night thinking about it. But the other side is that I really like it. And so this time when I go back and get it, what I do is I try to then make sense of what I'm carrying. Because if I understand why God allowed it to happen, then I can accept it, so I think. Where the truth of the matter is, the things that you go through, some things you can lay down. Some things will have a lasting impression on your life.
Yes, sir.
You ever talk to someone who's been through something and you were just going through it, and you ask them, how did you make it through it? And how long did it take for you before you came out? And they begin to think about it and they say, well, it wasn't the first year. Maybe around the fifth year, I kind of got used to it. No, I think it was the 10th year, because I remember something that happened 10 years. See, some stuff stick with you for a long time. I don't think that there's anything that stick with you like being poor and hungry. When you're poor and hungry, coming up, you finally are able to achieve something, and then you will fight to make sure that you never experience that again. I know y'all been comfortable and rich all your life, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you ever ate rice for breakfast, rice for lunch, rice for dinner, rice for a snack, rice of a young, rich ruler. Now, this young, rich ruler, he thinks that he has it going on. But sometimes in life, all the times in life, your money can give you a false sense of security. It's nothing like God then to step in your life and to put you on an operating table and say, buy your way out of this. It's nothing like God to step into your life. And when he steps into your life, he allows something to happen to your child. He says, spend your money out of this fund right here. It's nothing like God to allow them to come in your family, rob you of someone that you love. Someone is precious where your money means absolutely nothing. And you're still trying to make it through life.
Yes, Lord.
And if I can just get myself together, I think I'll be all right. And then I begin to pray to God, and it seems like everything is going okay, and I can lighten my load because I understand that he's a heavy load bearer. I understand that if I turn it over to him, everything will be all right.
All right, man.
This certain rich ruler comes to Jesus.
All right, man.
And he says to him, Master. Now, you know that master implies teaching. And so when you invite God to teach you a lesson, watch out. Now, when God begins to teach you a lesson, he likes to go on the back side of the mountain. He likes to do it really painful so that you can really come through understanding that nobody did it but God. So he says to him, good master. He says, what must I do to earn? See, that's problem number one. He got money, so he think that he can buy salvation. You can't buy salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is what God gives you. Salvation is Christmas, 365 days of year. That's what God does to you. He gives you salvation. He says, what can I do to purchase eternal life? Jesus says to him, well, why you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. So if you're saying to Jesus that he is good, you're also saying that he is God, part of the Trinity. So lesson number one is for you to recognize who you talking to. See, some people will disrespect you from the word go. It doesn't make a difference what you do in their life, how wonderful you've been. They still disrespect you because they value you zero until something else happens. Then they want to go back to you. Then they want to reestablish the friendship. Then they want to call you again. Then they need something from you.
All right.
And because you have the love of God, you do it again. And your friends say, you crazy, you shouldn't have done that. And you say, I'm not crazy, I'm just in Christ. I understand that vengeance is the Lord. And whatever God decides to do, that's God's business. But I'm going to let my little light shine. And if I let my light shine, he'll bless me. If I let my light shine, he'll open a door for me. If I let my light shine, he'll make a way for me. If I let my light shine, he'll dry up all of my desires. If I let my light shine, he'll pay the bill. If I let my light shine, he'll be a friend. If I let my light shine, he'll put a hedge of protection. All right. So he says to him, he says, good master, what can I do to earn eternal life? Now, notice what Jesus does is Jesus doesn't preach words at him. Jesus began to speak his language and comes into his world. So his world is a world of money. Jesus says, let me meet you where you are. See, it's nothing worse than going to church and the preacher talking about something you can't relate to. It's nothing worse than going to church. Yes, she's speaking about Peter, Paul, James, and John, but what does that have to do with me and my light bill at Georgia Power in 2013? Tell me what God can do today. Tell me that he's still alive. Tell me he's still sitting high and looking low. Tell me he still supplies my needs. Don't tell me what he did. Tell me what he's doing right now. I want to serve a right now God. I want to serve an old time God. I want to serve a God that is alive, willing, able right now. But because I keep going to church, and you keep telling me what Jesus did and God did for Daniel, and I'm not in a den of lions, so I can't relate, preacher, to what you're talking about. You telling me about somebody walked on water. I don't have any water around me. I can't relate to what you're talking about. I need to understand that God still pays bills. I need for you to talk to me about God still jumps over my bad credit, even though I'm carrying a whole bunch of mess with me. I need for you to tell me that God still is able to restore relationships. Don't tell me what he did. Tell me what he does. Jesus steps into the rich man's life. And he says to him, all these commandments, he says, I've done these things. Can you imagine the rich ruler? You say, commandments? I've done these things from my youth up. Notice point number one, how Jesus begins to deal with the head of a man. Let me see what you're thinking. Because you think you got it all together. You think because you kept 9 of the 10 commandments, you are right. You think because you know that your sister was a prostitute and you've been in church all your life but still killing folk with your tongue, you think you're going to heaven in spite of. You see somebody else's stuff, but you dumping all over your little stuff because the lie that you told, it was just a cute white lie in comparison to the big one that you think I told. He deals with the man's head. He says, these commandments. He says, Jesus, I've kept all these commandments. These things I've done from my youth up. And then he sets the guy up. He says, now, go and sell all that you have. See, notice he moved from the head. He moves to his heart. How you really feel? Then don't tell me what your mouth is saying. How you really feel in your heart? Don't you hate it when people are two-faced and people talk about you and then at the same time they bless God? I don't understand it. Don't you just hate it? Don't you just hate it? See, but the heart never lies. The Bible declares, so is a man thinking, so is he. What's inside of you? It'll come up. Just put you in the right situation, right circumstance, and you're going to curse it. That's been in you all along. Just put you in the right situation, the right circumstance, and you begin to act a fool. That's you. Head. He moves to his heart. He says, sell all that you have. See, he checks his heart because he wants to show him how much he's connected to his stuff. It reminds me, I know y'all city folk, it reminds me of a raccoon. A raccoon likes shiny stuff. So they build a trap so the raccoon can stick his hand, just slide his hand into the trap, and he'll grab the silver aluminum foil. It has no value whatsoever, but he is so insistent on holding on to it that he'll lose his life when all he has to do is let it go. I'm talking to somebody. You holding on to what they did. Let it go. Let it go. heart. And then he reminds him that he's rich. Now he deals with what's in your hand. See, if you ever want to know how God is going to bless you, always look at what's in your hand now. See, you waiting on God to send somebody your way, not understanding that I am that somebody, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I appreciate your prayers, but if you decide not to pray for me, that don't stop my blessing. I appreciate you, but I'm in Christ myself. I appreciate what you're doing for me, but God says I'll make your name great. So he walks them through this process. He deals with his head. He deals with his heart. Now he challenges hands. And then he says, because it is so hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, which means that what is the will of God? We'll fight against the will of God when our money is straight, when our relationship is straight, when our degree lined up, when our resume is polished. Then it's hard for God to use us, because we think we got it all together. See, I came this morning to tell you about the person sitting to your left and to your right. They came in here and they were standing tall, but they were carrying some stuff on their back. I know they look like they got it together, but they carrying some stuff on their back. And see, because they're carrying some stuff, they've been trying to fool you like everything was all right. See, just because everything looks okay, that doesn't mean everything is okay, because you don't know what's behind me. You don't know what I'm carrying, and I'm carrying all this stuff, but at the same time, I'm dressed up in my Sunday morning clothes, and I'm looking good, but everything ain't good, because I got some stuff that I'm still dealing with from yesterday. I got some stuff that I'm still dealing with from my past. I just don't want you to know about it. So I come to church. Yeah, I look good in church. But I'm carrying some stuff, got some band-aids. Just because you hurt me in church. And so I had to bandage my wound. I had too much pride to come to you and tell you that you hurt me. I just covered it up. But that's not the deepest wound. The deepest wound is the wound that I did to myself. I can't tell you about it, because if I tell you, then you won't tell somebody else. So I'll just cover that one up, because I'm going through something, but I can't tell you everything that I'm going through. But I'm still carrying some stuff. And when I begin to carry stuff, and you think I got it together, but what you don't know about me. See, there are some things about me that you just don't, excuse me, there are some things about me that you don't know. While I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit, I'm still struggling with just a little Jesus juice, not on Sunday morning, I'm coming out on Monday now. I'm just talking about some stuff that I've been carrying around. Medicine. And so I got a pill for Monday, and a pill for Tuesday, and a pill for love, and a pill for depression. I got a pill for Sue, and got a pill for Harry. But at the close of the day, none of that gives me joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, but I'm still dealing with all sorts of stuff. And I got some more stuff that I'm dealing with. You know, y'all gonna have to excuse me, because every now and then I like to get high. I like to. I told you I was carrying some stuff. So every now and then I like to roll me a blunt. Y'all excuse the pastor, didn't roll this one right. I'm not telling you I never rolled any right. I rolled some. When you're going through life, sometimes this load get a little heavy every now and then. And you want to lighten the load, and every now and then when you want to lighten the load, you know, every time you think you out of something, somebody always reminds you of other stuff that you've been through. And you know, I'm trying to fix myself. I got a weight problem. I just can't wait to eat. You know, ain't nothing wrong with eating a little food every now and then. Not long as you got a good chaser. I got to have a good chaser. This was just a little bump. This is chaser, right? And all I wanted to do was just to sit down and read the paper and just have one little sip. And I looked in the paper and y'all had lied on me in the paper. Here I go in the paper. Now mind you, it's two children sitting by me. I know y'all know about Jonathan, but y'all messed around and found out about Jonathan's brother that was born 2 weeks after him. Don't have the same mama. Add up. So, I've been carrying that thing too. I wanted to tell you, but I didn't know how you would take it. Now, when you told me about your situation, I was cool with you. I was supportive of your situation. But now that you know about my love child,
my God. All right,
you want to put me out in church. Yeah. But you want counseling from me. Yeah. You want to put me out in church. But I can't tell your business. See, we have to learn not to judge one another. Yeah. I came in here carrying some stuff. Yeah. All right. Try to sleep at night. I told them parents and stuff. Try to sleep at night. I hold my pillow because my lover left me, and I was so used to holding her all night, and not she gone, and I got to squeeze on my pillow. I can't sleep, and so because I can't sleep, here I am up all night long. The pillow is wet, and I wish I could call you.
All right, now.
But if I told you my issues, what would you think about me in the morning? If I told you how I really feel, what would you then think about me? And so you have to be careful, because if you're not really careful, then things that you're going through in life will push you to a point of confusion. So then I get confused because she left me. And because she left me, teenagers in here, I don't know whether or not I should be carrying a condom or a Kotex. For the little girl. So you got me all confused. I don't know who I am. Should I wear the bra? Or should I put, I told you I'm coming real. Should I put on the boxer? I'm confused. And because I'm so confused. DJ, that's what's my problem. The only reason you got a warrant for my arrest for messing with little boys and little girls is because I'm confused.
All right.
But you so holy.
My, all right now.
You so holy. And so I've tried everything. And so here I am. I'm at a point of committing suicide. Because you laughed at me. You thought it was funny. Wasn't nothing funny about my cancer. Wasn't nothing funny about me being broke. Wasn't nothing funny about her walking out on me. Wasn't nothing funny about my finances. And so here I am trying to commit suicide. And I put the gun to my head. I've been carrying it for a while. Loaded the gun. Put it to my hand.
All right now.
I pulled the trigger.
All right.
Only to find out that no weapon
formed against me.
That's formed against me. And so I came to church, and you laughed at me.
All right now.
Then I had to pick myself back up. I thought if I went to church, I can lay it at the altar. Come on, be the help. I thought if I came to church and I laid it at the altar, I can leave it there. And then you start telling me something about it's easier. Listen, for a camel, watch this. This is my camel. To go through the eye of a needle game. Now we got common sense. We know that the camel can't go through the eye of the needle game. So God, what are you really telling me? He says, what I'm telling you is that the camel that I'm talking about.
Yes, Lord.
You know the little hump that's on the camel's back?
Yes, Lord.
He says, the needle's eye.
Yes.
It's a gate.
It's a gate.
He says, but if I can get the camel to
bend that,
get on bend the knee. If I can just get you, your little pride for self, to get on bend the knee. And just crawl to God.
Yeah.
I don't care about my cuteness.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're looking at me. If I can just get you just to come. Because I'm carrying something. And so he says the camel gets to the eye of the needle's gate.
Yeah.
He says he can't go through it.
All right now.
You see, whenever you get ready to break through some stuff, you'll always have resistance.
Yeah.
You'll always have the naysayers telling you what you can't do.
Yeah.
But he says if you take the pack off your back, you're going to struggle to get through it. When you take it off your back and come through on bending knee, I know you're going to struggle to get through, but you're coming out of your situation. I know you're going to struggle, but you're coming out of your mess. And somebody's saying that you got to take the crown off your back in order to come out. I came this morning to tell somebody it's time for you to come out. It's time for you to come out. You may care. I know what they said about you, but you gotta let that thing go, baby. You gotta unpack that stuff. You gotta let it go. When you decide to take all that foolishness off your back and say, God, I'm coming out of this thing, God says, all you gotta do is get on bending knees. I'll bring you out. I'll deliver you. I'll heal you. How Jesus met the rich ruler where he was. He stepped into his world and he says, let me talk to you about your situation. Let me talk to you about real problems. I don't have no time to hoop and holler to you. You ain't got time for it. Let me tell you about a God that's able to do all things but fail. Let me tell you about a God that understands your struggle. Let me tell you about a God that understands where you've been. Let me tell you about a God that understands where you were. And the only reason that God understands it because he allowed you to get there. See, he allowed you to do it because he wants you to tell it. That's your testimony. You better open your mouth and tell somebody the goodness of God. You better open your mouth and tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. When folks look at you, they don't know what you've been through. But I am a living testimony. I am a living testimony. I've been through some stuff. If you only knew what I've been through, if you only knew what I'm going through, you don't understand that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where will I be? God, give him some praise in this house. For bringing you out. He says, I know you came in and you were carrying some stuff with you. He says, but I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to cast all your care upon me. I want to do something while this atmosphere is charged right now. Whatever you walked in here with, I want you to come to the altar and be bold enough to leave it right here. You've been carrying some stuff for a long time.
Hallelujah.
You've been carrying some stuff.
Yes, Lord.
Now bring it to him.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And leave it here. Says if you bring it here, humble yourself. Take that pack off your back. Word, fear, failure, shame, molestation, addiction. It's me, O Lord. Give me you in exchange for my foolishness. Stuff. My inabilities to reach my goals. I've been carrying this stuff. This failure in life. I've been carrying this stuff. Having a child and not ready. I've been carrying this stuff. Walking out of my child's life. I've been carrying this stuff. But here I am. Here I am. For your amazing grace. We thank you for peace. We thank thank you for salvation. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for love. We thank you for restoration. God, we thank you. We owe you a praise this morning. We owe you a praise. God, as we stand at the altar, strip us. Pull fear out of me. Pull doubt out of me. Pull being ashamed out of me. Pull failure out of me. Pull me out of me. Pull me out of my way. Pull me out of your way. Remove me, Lord, that I may see your Shekinah glory. Thank you for this corporate. If you receive that, give the Lord a clap.